www.artfocus.com. Stay tuned for Art Focus with host Joseph Galavan.
This KABU program is made possible in part by KABU Foundation members and a grant from Tucci Ristorante, an Italian dining house honoring the memory of Mary Cipolla Matucci and the spirit of the Lido restaurant in which she worked for 50 years. Tucci Ristorante features sustainable Northwest ingredients, drinks in the Lido bar, and is open every day in downtown Lake Oswego. Information at tucci.biz. That's TUCCI.BIZ.
Andy Warhol is a scream. Hang him on my wall. Andy Warhol, silver screen. Can't tell them apart at all. Andy Warhol is a scream. Hang him on.
My name's Joseph Galavan, and you're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week is Anne Berner. She's the Chief Enrollment Officer and Director of Admissions at the Oregon College of Art and Craft. Thanks for coming into KBOO, Anne.
Oh, I'm happy to be here.
You're here because I want to know what it takes to get into art school these days. And recently, your college, the Oregon College of Art and Craft, hosted National Portfolio Day, which is lots of art schools around the country send a team to sit at a table, and local kids, so Oregon, probably Washington, come in with their portfolios and they show off their work and they get a little bit of advice, and then they can hear a bit more about the college that they're talking to. How long has that been going on, and what's the point of it?
Well, National Portfolio Days have been going on for more than 20 years. They fit in a larger framework of college fairs that happen nationwide, all the way from East Coast to West Coast. In fact, this group also does one in Paris, which I would love to go to represent Oregon. It also covers one in British Columbia. The Portfolio Days are college fairs that are unique in that promising art students or students that are thinking about art college are able to actually bring their artwork and have it looked at. And the art colleges that participate in the fair actually require that somebody submit a portfolio for college admissions when they plan to do that. So that's one of the criteria. And in college admissions for art schools, we're in most cases talking about finite programs that are called Bachelor of Fine Art degrees. So those differ from Bachelor of Arts or Bachelor of Science degrees. I am someone who did a Bachelor of Arts in Art Studio, for example, at University of Maryland many years ago. That program emphasized more liberal arts classes over studio classes. So these bachelor's programs and the portfolio days are really geared towards specialized art programs where two-thirds of your classes are spent in the studio, and one-third is on really key academics that support that. And obviously in some of the studio classes, there's some crossover. We have that in Oregon College of Art and Craft, where we have a lot of theory that goes on in the studio practice as well. But that's the audience it's geared at, is those Bachelor of Fine Art programs and focused in on art studies and careers.
As I walked around, I saw tables for Parsons in New York, Art Institute of Chicago, the California College of Creative Arts, CalArts, a famous fine arts school, and Otis, a great design school. There wasn't just a West Coast bias, it was all over, really. So if you're just in Portland, you had the chance to check out and make a connection with some of the greatest art schools in the country.
Yeah, and there were almost 30 schools there from around the nation, and including New York, Midwest, West Coast. And these are one of the opportunities where students don't have to travel a great distance. You know, having moved from the East Coast about 3 or 4 years ago, I can really feel those plane rides of 2,500 miles, you know, and the expense that's associated with that. So you can actually visit with a school that's from Maryland, that's from D.C., that's from New York, right here in Portland.
And you bring in your portfolio, kind of form a line, walk up to the front, and then you put it down, and there are real art teachers manning the desks, right? They have knowledge of what they want.
And yeah, they must.
And they'll just talk to you about your art.
schools send different kind of people to cover the event, depending. Sometimes they're faculty members who are actually teaching in classes, and sometimes they're admissions officers who have been looking at portfolios for a long time. Most of us are also practicing artists as well. For myself, I've, at this point in my career, looked at more than 5,000 art portfolios.
Wow.
With the Portfolio Days, the art portfolio, when I prepare students for this opportunity, I say it's a great opportunity because you can visit lots of colleges all at once, get feedback on your artwork. It's really a development tool to have a stronger portfolio, whether you gear that towards college admissions or not.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also important to learn to talk about your artwork. It may be the first time you've shown it to somebody. I explain that in some cases it's subjective what somebody says about your portfolio, so be prepared. Not mm-hmm. everyone's going to say you're wonderful. We love it when that happens. But it's also meant to be a positive critique in terms of improving your portfolio. And schools also have a limited vision in terms of they're thinking about admissions at their school. While something may be strong for their school or not strong, another school may have a different answer for you. It's a little bit of a process where you need to be prepared to receive that feedback you're going to get. So I think that's important. I love the opportunity to see so many schools, but at the same time, it can be really impersonal. You talked about those lines. So you want to be prepared that someone has 10 minutes for you. They're focused in on you, and then they're on to the next student.
Yeah. At the Portfolio Day, which Oregon College of Art and Craft hosted a few weeks ago, I talked to Kevin Buck, who's your counterpart at PNCA, Pacific
yes.
Northwest
mm-hmm.
College of Art. And he told me three things people should sort of focus on when they're trying to get into art school. One was observational drawing. They should do drawings a couple of weeks, maybe throw them under their bed and then save them. And when it comes to portfolio time, edit out, take the best. The second thing would be to highlight your own work. So if you're really passionate about video games or sculpture or something like that, then you have representation of that. And then the third thing is a lot of colleges ask you to do a particular thing that they ask everyone to do. So you've got to research that and, you know what to do. There are things like that you've got to know. Is this the kind of thing people know when they're like 15? Because I saw a lot of young kids walking around.
It's a balance between the two. I mean, the idea of Portfolio Days is really it's that cultivation event. That event is best geared towards sophomores and juniors, juniors in particular in high school, because that gives you time to get feedback, find out more about the school that they do have a particular drawing assignment, for example. Visual arts students, if they're from programs where they've been instructed for several years from middle school through high school, we have some great public and private high schools here. In fact, there's a Scholastic show that's up right now at Oregon College of Art and Design that's regional winners from Scholastics from the state. And you can come in right now and take a look at artwork from high school students. We're going to have a juried show up in 2 weeks. And those are students who really, through their instructors, sometimes through guidance counselors, more than likely it's the art teacher, has told them about Oregon College of Art and the type of things that we're looking for in a portfolio or those schools. So it's twofold, and it's okay to have both audiences there. You know, that's the point. We often counsel people on preparing for a portfolio day in terms of assembling that portfolio. Don't put too much. Don't put too little.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? So it does mean selecting work out from 8 to 20 pieces. So we have an idea of what you're doing in your art making, so we can kind of give you good feedback on the direction to go.
So, Anne, you've seen 5,000 portfolios?
Probably more.
What would you recommend? What to avoid and what to include?
These are kind of general statements, and it'll vary a little bit from school to school. But it's really that balance that we want to see, because in most cases we're looking at freshman year and how are you going to perform in our school freshman year, and we want to set you up for success. So at Oregon College of Art and Craft, we look for 10 to 20 pieces. In that, I expect and love to see a balance between technical skills, so you've reached a certain level of achievement, and creativity. So creativity is kind of your own stamp and what you want to do for there. And that's what I'm looking for. And also in terms of our portfolio evaluation for students who are accepted based on, you know, we look at transcripts. We have rigors in that way as well.
Mm-hmm.
We then look at them for scholarships. So your portfolio can be incredibly important in terms of financing your art education.
Sorry, what do you mean you look at them for scholarships?
if someone gets into the institution, the portfolio is one of the key things that we look at to award them a scholarship for getting in. And we have scholarships that range up to full tuition for 4 years. So you can imagine it's pretty competitive at that level.
And they go to the best artists.
That's one of the things. And students, you know, grades are important too. And we have an open house coming up March 7th, which is a Saturday, where we actually have faculty from five of our divisions there to look at undergraduate prospect portfolios. And it's more personal than a portfolio day because it's just our college. Mm-hmm. And you get a little bit more time with faculty
longer.
Members.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You might even get up to 20 minutes.
And the students will be kind of seniors in high school.
Yep. Seniors, probably. Juniors, you know, sometimes sophomores. We also have transfer students, particularly at open houses. Half of our population, which is pretty typical of specialized schools, is transfer students.
At OCAC, who are these out-of-state people? Where are they coming from?
Well, we do recruitment nationwide. The college has actually had an emphasis on doing that, and that's one of the things I've been doing at Oregon College of Art and Craft started with our president, Denise Mullen, probably a bigger emphasis about 5 years ago. And so we travel Florida, Texas, Boston, and are really looking for top art students. And we do art school presentations where we're in high schools telling them all about Oregon College of Art and Craft. And our campus is a big experience of who we are and kind of sets us apart in Portland. Portland obviously is a real fun city to talk about. That just, you know, things like Portlandia. And when you take that on the road in Miami, that's a lot of fun. People know that introduction right away.
Right. Your campus is out by Catlin Gables School. What do you call that neighborhood?
I use the term West Hills, just mm-hmm. in general. We're about 3 miles from the center city, and we have 10.5 acres there. It originally was a nut orchard, so there's a lot of greenery and trees, mm-hmm. and we have about 15 to 20 buildings.
Yeah, it's lots of small buildings kind of scattered around.
Yeah,
so it's got that feel of...
Right, and it's got historic landscaping in it from the Storrs family, so we have... Particularly coming, seeing it from another region, I've never seen azaleas this large or rhododendrons that are the size of buildings.
Mm-hmm.
We have those things. And we have some wildlife on campus that occasionally scares me. I come across that.
But it feels like a school where you can get your head down and focus rather than be distracted.
Exactly. It's kind of an oasis where you come up to campus, you are in your creative art practice working with those materials, and then you reconnect with your other life. Some students have expressed it as summer camp for adults with the tough curriculum, but it's that kind of atmosphere, if you can kind of picture that.
I'm Joseph Gallivan, and you're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week is Anne Berner. She's the Chief Enrollment Officer and Director of Admissions at the Oregon College of Art and Craft, and she's here talking about how to get into art school. So what kind of music do you listen to when you're working, Anne?
I really don't listen to music when I'm working. I'm actually listening to students. I'm looking at portfolios. But I do put together music for presentations, and I kind of think about what's a good background music piece for that. And that's one of the ones I pointed out today.
Mm-hmm. So you brought in Ghost Rider by RJD2.
Yeah, that's one of the ones we've used when I've presented exhibitions of digital portfolios. It's got a good background to it to take in artwork and also enjoy the music.
Let's give it a listen. was Ghost Rider by RJD2. What effect does that have on people when they're looking at art?
I think it gives you the space to be able to visually take in the art, but also keep pace with a presentation of artwork to sort of see that there's a beginning and an end. But hopefully it doesn't interfere too much. It just kind of provides that background to let you enjoy the artwork.
For the school, you're really hoping to get people in from all over the U.S. now. It's not just the little Oregon college.
Correct.
It's national and it's international too. What kind of foreign students do you get or try and get?
There are a lot of countries that we have that are known for students of art students, for example. South America is one. When we look at Asia, there are a lot of portfolios that come from that area. Saudi Arabia, United Emirates, those are areas where we have students. And the artwork is usually from established art programs. Sometimes they've been in art colleges that are well known in their countries. And depending on the area, for example, in Asia, sometimes we'll see a lot of real life observation work that comes out of there where technical is the emphasis. A place like South America, you might see a little bit more creative practice in there in terms of it might be a balance with technical, but it really is self-expression, a little bit more abstract, just as general terms for portfolios.
What do you say to a foreign student? I mean, they're so far away. If they're not coming here to meet the faculty.
Well, it's really about building that relationship and trying to explain the fit for the college so that really talk about the college and what that's like. When we talk about what's Portland like, are they knowing what that's like? Where does it fit in terms of United States? What is it like to live? English language skills are really important. And so you want to be able to have a certain set where you're going to be successful. And we want to help with that as well. Talk about what that intensive art experience is to be sure that it's a match. Really have an understanding of what the college is. So it's not all about getting in, right? It's a lot about that fit. And one of the fits at OCAC that's incredibly important is we're a really small, intimate community. We see and are a community of students. So we are 200 strong. And with that, each additional student that we hand select to come in has a big impact on our campus and vice versa. So you need to be someone who's comfortable being in that small town sort of size where people know your business, are encouraging you or mentoring you to foster, as opposed to looking at a university where it might be 5,000 students, for example. There's a big difference there. So it's important that they know what they would expect the day they hit campus.
The other school in town, Pacific Northwest College of Art, they just moved to a new big building in the North Park blocks. And OCAC has a joint program with them. What is it called?
We are lucky that together we established a Master of Fine Arts degree in Applied Craft and Design. And it's in a standalone site, a very cool loft space, which is enormous for studios. We have about 35 students in there, and that's at 10th and Gleason.
In Northeast Portland?
Yeah, in Northeast Portland. And those students are really working on the field of craft, but we've got the word applied in the title there. So applied
what does
is,
that mean?
It can be applied in the community. It can be applied in design. It can be applied in production. There's an entrepreneurial aspect to the program. There are group projects that they do together. They typically have a project that's called Design Build that they do at the beginning of the semester before school even starts, where the new entering class is all thrown together, and they work on one project. And there's been a background of architecture in terms of faculty there, so they typically are a build project. They've done bikes for a bike shop for disadvantaged kids on a school campus, for example. Somehow they're investing in the community and making a difference. That's one of the graduate programs. And then OCAC has a MFA in craft, which is 2 years old, which has gotten a lot of national attention. And in terms of working with that applicant pool, that's one of the things I work with the directory. So that's been a lot of fun to sort of see that unfold. We're getting ready to have launch a lecture series that's nationwide in terms of its audience. That's called Conversations on Craft. And our first one will be in mid-April, and that'll include visiting guest lecturers from around the country. It's part of a connection series. And our current students are very articulate about talking about the process of craft and explaining what that is.
Oregon has the shortest school year, and there are a lot of kids who don't have art in school. Have you seen that Has that affected the kind of work you've seen or the kind of students you've seen approaching school?
Where we see it is the students who take advantage of our summer camp programs and pre-college programs. So for the students who don't have art in their classrooms, we've done a couple of relationship buildings the college has. So for example, we help run art programs in Cathedral School. That's one of the things that we do. Some schools have very active parent organizations where they say, okay, art is not happening in the classroom, but we're going to make it happen. How do we do mm-hmm. that? And we've been approached about that. Our summer camp program is typically grades 1 to 5. It is brings 2,100 kids on campus during the summer. It's insane. And they are working in all kind of different craft regions, having a great time. And those are week-long classes. We've had a set of twins that have been doing that for 6 years all summer long. So it's been really fun to kind of see them advance through. And in terms of initiatives that we do things like the high school juried show, where it's only for OCAC, and we go out to high schools and really kind of encourage that art building and select artwork for that. Our pre-college programs that we have are somewhat unique. You know, these art colleges, when I'm talking about the top tier of the 40 private art colleges, a good number of us have pre-college residential and non-residential programs. So that's an opportunity where you haven't had that instruction, but all of a sudden you can have instruction on real life observation. That's still life. Might be the first time you've worked with a figure model. How fun to go into Portland and draw from the landscape to visit artist studios. So we are filling those spaces as best as we can. The other side of that, as I had mentioned, there are several really strong programs in Oregon as well. So they've had a long history in their high school of the programs.
Mm. So you came to Portland from the Corcoran College of Art and Design in Washington, D.C. Tell us, what are the big differences between East Coast and West Coast in terms of art students?
I've seen a variety of portfolios, whether it's East Coast or West Coast, and one feels very West Coast, but I actually saw it on the East Coast, was a portfolio that was all tattoos. Again, a little bit of that entrepreneurial aspect where someone says, I want a tattoo that does this, and you have to come up and be able to do that. So that mm-hmm. was fun. I've certainly seen a lot more tattoos since I've moved to Portland than I did in D.C. I worked across from the White House, so that's been like a fun thing to sort of see where all that goes.
If someone is at art school, but they want to try out a different college, is that possible?
Well, for us, we're actually affiliated with two memberships that allow that to happen. And that's kind of the strength of a small school, is also being connected to big time connections. And one of them is with the Association of Independent Colleges of Art and Design. They have a mobility program that's only for its 43 members. And what you're able to do is spend a semester elsewhere for your home tuition. So that can be quite a cost saving. So for example, our tuition rate would be very different from a New York school. And we have students who are able to study for a whole semester, bring those college credits and those grades back to your home campus. So that's one opportunity.
So you would go from Oregon to some fancy school in New York?
Yeah. And that's just one of the schools. We just had a student complete a program at Emily Carr in Canada. You can go to Canada too. And a lot of times you might be picking a program because of a certain emphasis. You know, it's not always location.
Mm-hmm.
And we also are part of an association in the state that's for private colleges. And what that allows it to happen is that you can take a class at another private college for your home tuition as well. So we have two visiting students at the college from two other colleges, and we send students to who can study at Reed, Lewis and Clark, and again they pay their home tuition. And for us, that, you know, we're not sending them to take art classes because we have the best art classes, but they do have the opportunity if they want to take something that we don't offer, such as foreign language. If they're planning on studying abroad, we've had students do that where they do a concentration in Spanish. We had somebody do a music theory class. That was something that also made sense with their artwork, but we didn't offer.
Art schools are obviously alive and well. Why would somebody who's 16 want to be an art student, or why would their parents let them be one?
So what I advise families and students is to focus on something that you're passionate about, that you have strengths already in, that you're going to love to do for life, And that's really what art school is about. So there have been studies, for example, OCAC has 82% of our alumni are working in the arts. There's a really large national survey of alumni of all art schools. So at this point, it's more than 90,000 students have been surveyed. It's called SNAP. It's S-N-A-A-P. And it's a nonprofit study. And in there, you can see the satisfaction of careers. You know, people who study in art schools are much more satisfied with their careers. And I think it's for some of those things I just mentioned. You know, pick something that you're good at and that you love. They also talk about the average salaries that are nice and strong in the arts. The Department of Labor shows statistics for artists, and that's in the next decade are expected to grow healthy in those fields. So the arts are alive and well, growing not only in enrollment, but also in careers.
My name's Joseph Gallivan. You've been listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week was Anne Berner. She's the Chief Enrollment Officer and Director of Admissions at the Oregon College of Art and Craft, and she was here to tell us about why go to art school. Thank you so much for coming in, Anne.
Thanks, I really enjoyed being here.
Andy Warhol, let's just scream, hang him on my wall. Andy Warhol, silver screen, can't tell them apart at all.
A special, very special thanks to editor Sam Parrish for editing Art Focus today. Thank you.
As citizens of a so-called democratic society, we need to have information that ranges from A to Z, not what we have, which is A to B.
KBOO is proud to present An Evening with David Barsamian, Wednesday, March 4th, 7 to 9:30 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater. All proceeds will benefit KBOO Community Radio. One of America's most tireless and wide-ranging investigative journalists, David Barsamian is the host of Alternative Radio. Again, that's An Evening with David Barsamian, Wednesday, March 4th at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Tuesday nights on KBOO, it's Cubby Cushy, Cubby Cush.
With DJ Anjali and the Incredible Kid.
10 p.m. to midnight.
2 hours of global bass featuring Bhangra, Bollywood,
and the urban sounds of the global diaspora.
You're done north!
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the 25th Cascade Festival of African Films happening Thursdays through Sundays, now through March 8th, in celebration of Black